We will be in John chapter 18, verses 15 through 27. John chapter 18, verses 15 through 27. This is the beginning of the trials of Jesus. And the title of the message is, When a Strong Man Falls. When a Strong Man Falls. This is basically showing two stages this morning. On one stage we have the trial of Jesus, and on the other we have the Apostle Peter as he's standing outside and he denies Jesus three times. And so we're going to look at that this morning. But when a strong man falls, John 18, 15 through 27, by way of introduction, Jesus is both God and man. And if we look at Jesus in his humanity, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And that's in Matthew 26 and verse 39. So he's in the garden, and John doesn't record this, but he's in the garden praying and struggling in his humanity. And just like anyone would, he was afraid and troubled about having to go and suffer because he knew what was coming. And so in his humanity, he prays, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But then in his deity, he says, "Nevertheless, not thy will, not my will, but thine be done." And he goes ahead and he goes to the cross. And Jesus was a strong man, the strongest of men. Yet he wanted to avoid the cross if possible, but he wanted to do the will of the Father more. So he went to the cross. Now, Peter was also a strong man. And when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, what did Peter do? Well, Peter stood up and he was going to fight for him. He drew a sword and he was going to defend Jesus. And he ended up cutting off Malchus's ear, that was one of the soldiers. And he follows Jesus. And remember that Peter's intention had been to follow Jesus to fight and overthrow the Roman invaders. So Peter was not a wimp. He was not a scared man. He was a man's man. And yet, when he comes to Jesus being on trial, he's scared to death. And so Jesus stands while Peter falls. And so we'll look at that this morning. There were a total of six trials that Jesus endured. There were three Jewish trials and three Roman trials. It was necessary for the Roman trials to take place because Jesus had to be put to death on the cross, and only the Romans could authorize such a death. The Jews didn't have a right to do that. And Jesus was tried before Annas, Caiaphas, and the Sanhedrin in his Jewish trials, and before Pilate, Herod, and Pilate again in his civil trials, or his Roman trials. We know that Herod was the king. He wasn't technically a Roman, but he worked for the Roman government. And so those were the civil trials. Interestingly, in his religious trials, Jesus was found guilty and worthy of death by the Jews. He was found worthy of death, but in his Roman or his civil trials, he was found not guilty. But he ended up being sentenced to death because that's what the crowd wanted. So the first thing we're going to see as we get into the passage is that Peter follows and then denies Jesus in verses 15 through 18. Peter follows and then denies Jesus. Many of you look tired this morning and Some of you are sick, and I feel tired myself. I was watching an advertisement last night on Facebook by Joel Osteen. And the man's, it made me feel good just watching the man talk. His smile is just infectious. I don't agree with him, but I mean, it was like watching the greatest salesman I've ever seen. It just made me feel good, the smile. And I've always wanted to be able to smile like that. But I just can't, I can't do it. I don't have that ability. Oh, thank you, Herschel. I appreciate that. But getting into the text here, Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Now, the question here is, was the high priest here Annas or Caiaphas? We know that Jesus went to Annas first. Annas was not technically the high priest. He had been the high priest, but he was father-in-law to Caiaphas. But he was a very, very important figure. The high priest was a political office, and Caiaphas, or Annas, would have been kind of in charge of this political family. But there's controversy over this. Was this Annas or Caiaphas? If we read John 18, verses 12 through 14, so the verses that precede this, the Bible says, "Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews, that it was expedient that one man should die for the people." And so he goes to Annas first, and then in verse 15, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest." But the Bible is clear that Caiaphas was the high priest. Now, if we drop down to verse 24, the Bible says, "Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest." And in some of your Bibles, the translation says something to the effect of, "Annas then sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest." So there's controversy. Was he standing at this point before Caiaphas or Annas? Now, that may not matter to you, but it matters to commentators, and so I'm bringing it up because we're really not sure. But at any rate, he's standing before the high priest, either before Annas, who is being called the high priest here, or before Caiaphas, who is actually the high priest. "But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter." Now, there's another bit of, this is not really controversial, but some people think that this other disciple is John, because John never names himself by name. But we have to keep in mind that Jesus had other disciples besides the 12. He had other people that followed him besides the 12. And this was someone who was known by the high priest and could get access to the high priest. And the Bible nowhere says that John had access to the high priest or was known to the high priest, but some people have theorized that he did. Some have even theorized that John provided fish to the high priest's family, but the Bible just doesn't say that. But it could have been somebody like Nicodemus. We don't know. But it was somebody that was prominent enough to know the high priest and to get access. And so he speaks to the lady that keeps the door, and they brought in Peter. "Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art thou not also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. So the fact that she said also, "Art you not also one of this man's disciples?" It indicates that she knew that the other man was his disciple. Peter, however, is scared to death, so he denies knowing Jesus. So they walk in. The man who is not named here is a disciple of Jesus, and he's known to the high priest, so he knows all the people there. So he walks in, and the girl that keeps the gate obviously knows that he is a disciple of Jesus. So she looks at Peter and says, "Aren't you also one of his disciples?" And Peter says, "No, I'm not," because he's scared. So here's a man who was going to cut off, well, he did cut off Malchus's ear. He defended Jesus. He was ready to draw a sword and defend Jesus. And yet, when it comes to taking a stand for Jesus with the other disciple who knows the people in the palace, Peter denies Jesus. "I'm not one of his disciples," he says. Verse 18, "And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself." So Peter's trying to blend in. It's not that he stands by himself and just denies knowing Jesus, but he doesn't want to be recognized, so he goes with these people warming themselves by the fire, and he's trying not to be noticed. And it was cold. It was spring. And in Jerusalem in the spring, it is cold at night. Jerusalem is high above sea level, so it's cold at night. Now the second thing we see is that Jesus stands before the high priest in verses 19 through 24. So the scene switches from outside the palace of the high priest to inside. And as Peter stood outside with sinners, Jesus is inside standing for sinners. And so we go inside the palace of the high priest, and Jesus stands before him. Verse 19, "The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine." So the high priest is doing an interrogation. And Jesus is suspected of fomenting an uprising against the government, and the priest is asking him questions to get to the bottom of things. So he says, "Who are your disciples? What doctrine do you teach?" Jesus answered him, "I spake openly in the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said." So people who are working to create an uprising usually plot and plan in secret. That's the way they would do things. If you had a sect of Jews that was planning to overthrow the Roman government, they would plot in secret. But Jesus taught openly. And so he says to the high priest, "If you want to know what I said, I taught openly. You could have heard me yourself. Ask the people that came and heard me what I taught. I don't need to tell you what I was teaching. It was all out in the open. There's nothing secret." "And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, 'Answerest thou the high priest so?'" So we have a bit of police brutality here. So they're trying to get the answer they want. And so they're using duress, which was illegal in a trial. You weren't allowed to force a prisoner to answer under duress, but he's saying, "Answerest thou him so? Are you answering him like that? You answer right." Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me?" Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. So again, the controversy is whether or not Jesus now goes to see the high priest, Caiaphas, or whether this verse describes action that had previously taken place. And I'll give you two opinions on that. The eminent commentator Adam Clark said, "It has been observed before that the proper place of this verse is immediately after the 13th verse. And if it be allowed to stand here, it should be read in a parenthesis and considered as a recapitulation or repeating of what had been said before, what had before been done." So Adam Clark believes that the verse is just repeating what had already happened, that this action took place after the 13th verse that he was sent to Caiaphas. And there are a lot that believe that, that Jesus has been standing before Caiaphas, the high priest, because the Bible says he was before the high priest. However, A.T. Robertson wrote that it means that Annas therefore sent him bound unto Caiaphas. And so he says the preliminary examination by Annas was over. So A.T. Robertson believes that this whole thing has been talking about his examination by Annas, and now he is sent to Caiaphas. Now you say, well, that doesn't really all matter. Well, it matters to commentators, so I'm just repeating what they have said. Nobody really knows for sure. Usually I have an opinion. I think he had already been sent to Caiaphas, and that this is a retelling of his what was going on before Caiaphas, but I'm not positive. So study it for yourself and come to your own conclusions if you care to. The third thing we see is that Peter denies Jesus again. Peter denies Jesus again, verses 25 through 27. So now we go back to Peter. In the story, we go back and forth. We see inside the palace where Jesus is being tried before the high priest, and then outside, Peter by the fire. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, "Art thou not also one of his disciples?" He denied it and said, "I am not." So the first time the gatekeeper, the woman at the gate, asked him, and now the crowd he's with that he's trying to blend in and to get lost in the crowd and to not be noticed, they notice him. And they say, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" You know, it's strange when a Christian tries to blend in with the crowd that they'll notice that you're different. Remember that when Jonah tried to escape from his mission that God had given him to go to Nineveh and preach repentance, that he got on a ship headed in the opposite direction. And while he was on the ship, and the great storm came up, the people noticed, because they said, the Bible says Jonah had told them that he was running from God. And so in this case, the crowd notices, they recognize Peter, and they said therefore unto him, "Art not thou also one of his disciples?" He denied it and said, "I am not one of the servants of the high priest, being the kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him?" So the guy, we assume he didn't recognize him as the guy that cut off his ear. But there is an emphasis here when he says, "Did not I see thee in the garden?" He's saying, "Did not I myself certainly see you in the garden with him?" This is Malchus, the servant. Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. So three times Peter is denied, and the rooster has crowed. Jesus predicted this. Three times Peter is denied being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as Jesus had predicted. Matthew 26:34, Jesus said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." So, why did a strong man like Peter fall? Well, the Bible says in John 13:36-38, which we studied several weeks ago, Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me hereafter." So Jesus told Peter, "You can't follow me where I'm going now." Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down my life for thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." So Peter fell for the same reason that we fall. He disobeyed the Lord. He became prideful. He said, I'll follow you to death. I'll defend you to death. I'll follow you all the way." And Jesus said, "You're not going to do that. You're going to deny me." Jesus said, "You can't follow me now." Peter shouldn't have followed him. Jesus told him, "You can't follow me." He should have listened, but he got filled with pride. He said, I'm a man. I've always defended my family. I've always defended my people, and I'm going to defend the Lord. I'm ready to go to death with him." You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 1, Solomon wrote, "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor." A little folly, just a small thing. And just like dead flies in the drugstore cause a stinking savor, so a little folly can destroy a man. And so Peter was a prideful man that was willing to disobey this one command because he thought he knew better than the Lord. And so we find ourselves in the same situation. Why do preachers fall into sin? For the same reason everybody else does. There have been prominent preachers that have fallen into sin. They didn't start out that way, but they woke up one morning and they decided that they didn't need to read the Bible that day. Didn't need to read the Bible. Didn't need to obey God. That they could get away with a few things. Maybe they didn't need accountability because they are the man. And there have been prominent preachers that have fallen. Rabbi Zacharias comes to mind, and others. Bill Hybels. There's a whole list. And it didn't start out. Nobody gets into the ministry and thinks, I'm gonna fall. They get into the ministry to serve God. And then some little folly, and they make bad decisions. But it's not just preachers that fall. Plumbers fall, and electricians fall, and construction workers fall, and all kinds of people fall. It's just when the preachers fall, they got a target on them. They're prominent. But lots of people fall, and we fall for the same reason that Peter fell: disobedience and pride. So keep reading your Bibles on a daily basis. Keep attending church. Keep serving God. Don't let a little folly get into your life that will cause a fall eventually because it's not dealt with. Now, of course, the good news is that Peter fell, but Jesus restored him. right? Peter fell, but Jesus restored him. So the good news is that Jesus didn't fall. He stood. Peter fell, but Jesus didn't fall. We have a God of grace that stands up, and when we do fall and when things happen in our lives, God wants to restore us and to bring us back. And we have a God of grace that forgives and restores. And so that's the other side of the coin and the wonderful thing there. So if you've gotten away from the Lord, come back. He's not mad at you. He wants you to come back. He wants to help you. Let's get in the Word of God and read the Bible. It's hard to read the Bible sometimes on a daily basis. Some days you wake up and you go through the day and you don't want to read the Bible. That's hard sometimes, but make yourself read it. Eventually, you'll get to the point where you start getting things out of it. If you don't have anything else to read, read a chapter of Proverbs every day. Read a psalm. But do something systematic. Make yourself read it, and eventually you'll want to read it. And God will begin to speak to you. Peter fell. He was a strong man that fell, but praise God and thank God that there was another strong man who did not fall, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went all the way to the cross for us. And we praise his name for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people. Thank you for the work you're doing in this place. I do thank you for Jesus Christ. I praise your name that you went to the cross, Lord Jesus, that you died for our sins, and that you rose from the dead victoriously. And we do pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you would help us, strengthen us, restore us, show us your love, make us feel your love. Help those who are away from you, draw them back. We thank you for what you do. We thank you for your sacrifice. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll stand and sing a verse of amazing.